The book of Job, chapter 1 tonight. The book of Job, chapter number 1. And it won't be long, but I do want to just try to help you just a little bit tonight if I can. In Job, chapter number 1. Being a pastor of a church, you understand a lot of what people go through. And a lot of times in our church family, there's a lot of things that goes on. Even a lot of times you sitting in the pew may not know, and even I sometimes I don't realize and don't know. But tonight here in the book of Job, we'll try to help the best we can. Look at verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Look at verse number 6 for time's sake. Now there was a day when the sons of God, now if you don't know by now, those are angels, created beings of God, whether they be fallen angels or non-fallen angels. But verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. Now you understand, Satan ain't in hell yet. He's roaming around. And he's bothering you and he's bothering me. That's what he does. The Lord asked him where he come from. He says, I've been down there roaming to and fro on your doorstep. In other words, from walking up and down in it. Verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance in increase in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to look at verse number 13. I'm not going to read a whole lot, or I'm going to try not to, but I do want to give you the story. In verse number 13, now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder's brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job, saying, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burnt up the sheep, and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans come up in three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was speaking, there came also another. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating, drinking wine in the elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, I don't know if you figured it out yet or not, but Job is having a bad day. He's having a bad day. I mean, he is having a rough day. All of this stuff is happening in the same day. And God said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job over here? He's a perfect man. That doesn't mean sinless. That means he's a mature man. He's a mature Christian. He fears God. He eschews evil. I mean, he's not out running around. Hey, you know, and the Satan's like, well, the only reason he's serving you is because you bless him every time he turns around real good. Well, God, why don't you take your hand off of him and see what he does? And so God says, all right, Satan, I'll tell you what you do. You can't touch his body, but you can touch everything around him. And this is what Satan is doing to Job. Can I say this? God, Satan cannot do anything to you without God's permission. God has to give the okay on everything. And so look at what Job did in verse 20. Then Job arose. He rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, just for a few minutes, I want to just talk to you just a few minutes, or preach to you just a few minutes, what Job did when the bottom fell out. What Job did when the bottom fell completely out. Have you ever wondered that yourself? I'm talking about, what is Job going to do now? How is he going to respond to how God has dealt with him? How Satan has dealt with him? What's Job going to do now? I mean, the only logical thing for Job to do is to quit church. I mean, the only logical thing to Job to do is stop reading his Bible. I mean, the logical thing to do is just quit on God. That's natural. But Job, remember, he's an upright man. He's a patur man. He eschews evil. He's smarter than that. And so I want you to look at chapter number 2. Now, we're going to get to it in just a second. Hang on. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves for the Lord, and Satan came also with them to present himself for the Lord. He got to give an account to God, everything he does. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered and said, From going to and fro in the earth, walking down in it, up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one that feared God, eschewed evil? Still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Satan answered the Lord, said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he's in thy hand, but save his life." You can't kill him, but you can touch his body if you want to. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal. Y'all with it? And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." And he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all of this did not Job sin with his lips. Boy, you're talking about a rough day. I don't know anybody in this room, including this preacher, including Brother John on his platform, all the way back to the back of the room, I don't know of anybody that has went through what Job has went through. Job has went through an awful, awful lot. I mean, you talk to people, and I know it can get bad. It can get bad. You talk to some people, and man, I'm telling you, I heard about two fellas. One fellow run up on another, and he's on the edge of the bridge fixing to jump off. And the guy said, whoa, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. And the man that was fixing to jump off told the fellow all his problems. Both of them jumped off. I mean, it can be. I heard of a story one time, and it said, the preacher come over there and to his house, said, "Sir, why do you drink?" He said, "My wife drives me to drink." And the preacher said, "No man's wife can drive him to drink." And so he said, "Well, preacher, I want you to meet her." And so the preacher met her, and he looked at the fella. He said, "Pour me one." Now, all that's funny and all, but look here, some people have got some problems. Amen. And ladies, y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just funny. I'm trying to get your attention. But look at this. There are people sitting in this room going through some bad times. There's people sitting in this room that are going through some rough trials. And it seems like the windows of heaven have closed. And heaven is made of brass. And every time they pray, they cannot break through. And they feel like that God is a million miles away. And they don't understand what to do when the bottom falls out. But Job gives us some good encouragement to know what to do when the bottom falls out. What's Job going to do now? Well, I can tell you one thing. This is what he did. Look at verse number 20 of chapter 1. He arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, it is okay. It is okay with God if you just crawl up in a closet somewhere and cry. It won't hurt you one bit. Jesus cried a couple of different times in His life when He walked on this earth. It is okay to cry. It is okay to cry out to God. Job rose himself and rent his clothes and he shaved his head. In other words, he was expressing grief and disappointment. And what was on the inside of Job was coming out. And did you not know the reason that God allowed Satan to do what he was doing to Job is because in the end, God was making Job a better person on the back end than what he was right now. Sometimes we don't see, and we're coming to church, and we're reading our Bible, and we're praying, and we're doing everything we know to do right. And God is surfacing some things that He wants to get rid of in our life. And He uses, sometimes He'll use the devil to get His work done. And He'll be able to touch our life and touch our families and different things. Number two, he fell down on the ground. Sometimes God just wants you to humble yourself. He fell down on the ground. And number three, he worshiped God. He worshiped God in verse number 20. And this is what in essence Job was saying. He was saying, God, You're still God. You're still on the throne. No matter if all of my family is gone, no matter if the whole place burns down, if I don't have a home to go to, if they repossess every car I got, You're still God. And that's what he did. He acknowledged God's ownership over his whole life. This is what he said. Look, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. I came in this thing with nothing, and I will leave with nothing. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, all of my possessions belong to God. All of my children belong to God. Everything I've got belongs to God. If he brought it to me, if he wants it back, he can have it. Oh, that's a position. Man alive. That takes maturity to get to that position. He declared God's sovereignty over everything that he has. And over everything that happened, he said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And look at verse number 21. In all of this, Job sinned not. Or excuse me, that's 22. Verse 21, naked came I out of the mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He blessed God's name. He said, You're worthy. You're the one that brought me into this world. I didn't have nothing when I came. I don't have nothing when I leave. It's all Yours. You're in control. Boy, that's tough. That's a tough place to get into. That matches up with 1 Thessalonians, what Paul said. He says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Notice he did not sin with his mouth. Verse 22, and all of this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, the other was verse number 10 of chapter 2, where it says he didn't sin with his lips there in chapter number 2. You say, preacher, what does that tell me? I tell you, James says something about if a man can control his tongue, he is a mature person. Something about that tongue. Sometimes we murmur and we gripe and we complain and we accuse and we boast and we blame God foolishly. But it says in all of this, Job, sin not. Oh, ain't that something? Satan said, hey, God, he'll curse you to your face. And Job didn't do that. He didn't charge God foolishly. Say, preacher, what is that? Charging God foolishly goes, it sounds something like this. God, why are you doing this to me? Why did you let this happen? God, it's not fair. You shouldn't be treating me this way. I just ought to just quit and fold up and quit. Listen, folks, He's still God. No matter what you're going through, He is still God. He's still on the throne. We didn't bring anything into this world. We ain't taking anything out. So what do we do when the bottom falls out? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, preacher, that's easier said than done. It sure is. It sure is. I'm sympathizing with you. I know it's easier said than done, but I'm trying to encourage us here just a little bit tonight to know Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, I've always given this illustration on Romans 8:28. This is what the illustration is. I love, most of you know, I love chocolate pie. If somebody can make a chocolate pie real good, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. I'm talking about calf slobber 3 inches deep on it. And somebody help me now. Now look, ladies, I will never hurt your feelings, I don't think. I'll try not to on purpose. But do not make me a chocolate pie with instant pudding. Because sometimes what forms here will come out here before I know it. Amen. Y'all with me? I mean, if you go make one, I'm talking about make it good. I mean, you got to take some flour. And you got to take some eggs. And you got to, put that stuff in there. What else goes in there? Somebody help me. Cocoa. Hallelujah. And what you do is you work all of that stuff together. You work it together. Because it'll come out good if you work it together. But I can tell you this, if you just brought me and set on my desk back there a little bowl of flour, about 3 or 4 eggs just popped open and just sitting in a little bowl, and some cocoa sitting over here, sugar, hallelujah, egg whites, whew, just set it all, preacher, I made you chocolate pie. It's sitting on your desk. And I get my hand in there, get the flour. I get old dip over in the eggs here. All the ingredients for a chocolate pie is on my desk, but they hadn't been worked together. Once you work them together, what comes out is good. And a lot of times in life, all things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes we take a bite of life too early and it's bitter and it tastes ugly and say, oh God, you're trying to kill me. No, you took a bite too early. God's saying, wait till I get the pie done. Wait till I work that thing together and you will love the outcome. My friend, ladies and gentlemen, Job was looking at this thing and he was saying, God, I know you're working on a pie. I know you're working on a chocolate pie and I'm going to praise your name until it gets done. I don't understand what you're trying to do. I think you're trying to kill me. I think you don't love me no more. I think you're a million miles away, but I know that's not true and I know you got something in the oven. Hallelujah. I know you got something in the oven for me. And when I taste it on the other end, it's going to be good. And sometimes we take a bite of life just a little early. I want you to look at this verse. I told you I'm not going to be long. I want you to look at this. Daniel. Chapter number 3. And I may go to one of the places and it'll be it. Two or three more long places. Daniel chapter. I'm trying to help you tonight. And I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. But I have been through some bad spots. I have been through some trouble. I haven't been everywhere you've been. But I have been through some bad spots. And the Lord has had to put me through the fire and take that clay and run it through the strainer. He's had to do that a couple of times to get some of the twigs and some of the dirt out. But in Daniel chapter number 3, I love this right. I just love it. Everybody knows the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're getting ready to throw them in the fire. King says, y'all bow down when the contemporary music's played. Y'all bow down. I mean, that's in there. You'll have to read it, but it's in there. They'll play, they'll have a bunch of bongos and a bunch of beating and the banging, and they'll have a disco strobe light, a disco ball, and I mean, they'll have praise teams, they'll have all of it on the platform, and half of them won't have enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay. On the platform now, on the platform of the church, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when that happens, when you see the praise team, when you see the praise team and you hear the contemporary bongos and the drums going and going, you bow down to this image. Y'all, you with me? All right, look, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. We believe that God is going to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But King, you look at me and look at me real good. And I bet you they pointed their finger in his face too. You look at me and look at me real good. If he don't deliver us, we still ain't bowing to your God. We still not giving up. We're still going to serve Him. If God doesn't give me what I think He ought to give me, I'm still going to serve Him tomorrow. If He doesn't do and handle this situation like I think He ought to handle it, I'm still going to serve God. You know what the devil can do with that? A person like that? He can't do nothing with a person like that. When you make up your mind, you're going to serve God no matter if... See, Satan done showed his hand. Satan has already showed his philosophy. Satan's philosophy is the only reason you people are sitting on the pew tonight or in these chairs tonight is because God has blessed you. But when you show up and God hasn't blessed you, the devil don't know what to do with you. He don't understand why you keep coming to Holy Hills Baptist Church when he has tried his best to knock you down every time you turned around. And you still keep reading your Bible. He don't understand that. And he don't know what to do with you. Hallelujah.
And so when you get an attitude like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, hey, if he don't deliver us, I'm still going to serve him. He's still been, if he don't deliver us, he's delivered me plenty of times before. I'm still going to serve him anyway. Now, let me end with this illustration. I did a little research a little bit ago on the internet. I don't want to tell you a story. I want to go to one other place. I told you I was going to another place. 2 Corinthians, real quick. Real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then I'll tell you this illustration. And I hope something's been said or done to help you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Can anybody say amen right there? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know why you suffer? You know why you suffer so many times? Why you go through hard places? Why you go through troubles and trials? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Every time you see Brother Jeremy suffering, what you're supposed to see is the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm bearing in my body. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the cross. Now let me give this illustration and we'll be done. I did a little research on the internet this afternoon and I was looking up gold and silver and some of those metals, even aluminum and some of those metals. And what they would do, some of you know this already, but I had to do a little more research. But what they take is metals. They take aluminum and they would take gold, whatever the metal would be. They put it in a big old pot. They start a fire under it. And they start heating that gold up. And it wouldn't be too long, Brother Jason, it wouldn't be too long so what they call dross would rise to the top. It would be impurities that made it impure. Ain't that profound? And all of this ugly substance would rise, the more heat it would put to that gold or that aluminum or that silver, the more heat you'd put to that, the dross would rise to the top. And then they would take some kind of utensil and they would scrape that dross off of the top of that and get down to the pure gold metal. They'd heat that stuff up some more and they would heat that and heat that and heat that until there was no dross coming up from the top or from the bottom. The no dross at all. And then it was pure. Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 20, in a great house, there's many vessels. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The reason sometimes God is putting the heat to you, the reason that Job went through what he went through is because the heat and the pressure got on. And if we don't have time to read all 42 chapters of Job, aren't you glad for that? But if you were to read all of Job, 42 chapters, it pictures the last 42 months of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period for those Jews. But the more heat they put to that, and the more heat that Satan put to the devil, or put to Job, those impurities would rise to the top. And God would just take a utensil and brush it off to the side. And God's looking and smiling, going, it's getting better. It's getting better. It's getting more pure. And Job's like, you about to kill me. But all along, God was making him a better Job. And he didn't realize it. I can see us when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, I can just see. I can see the devil coming before the throne going, boy, that's it. Man, that's it, Jeremy. Boy, I put some licks on that dude. He sure is awful shiny. Man, I thought I put a couple licks on him. He didn't look that pretty when I was doing the job on him. What was he so shining for? And God will look and say, Satan, I appreciate you doing my dirty work for me. But he's better off now than he's ever been. You see, look, he's on display up here. Vessels of honor. He's on display up here. And you turn over on the bottom of that vessel. And the person that makes the vessel always puts their signature somewhere on the vessel. And on the bottom of that thing, he'll show the devil, say, look there, hand polished by the master. You're thinking he's about to kill you now. But what he's trying to do is get that dross to come to the top. Get rid of some of those impurities. I give that illustration all the time about that Indian man or that fellow whittling away on that stick of wood. He's making little eagles and little whatevers. I asked a fellow one time, I said, man, how do you do that? He said, I cut away everything that don't look like an eagle. And what God's doing with you, He's whittling away everything that don't look like Him. You put that heat to it. Job didn't realize it at the time. He didn't realize it. He just thought he was having a bad day. I mean, a real bad day. But did you know that in the end, we ain't got time to read, Job got it all back? Plus more. That's why we can say tonight, if He don't bless me another time, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, I hope that's helped.